previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
Man, do you remember Crossroads, Eric?
No.
And that was the first time I ate a watermelon.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Aya Zaktar.
And I'm Eric Sandin.
And together we are at a crossroads.
Yeah. So.
So it's been a while since the three of us have done a show together.
Yeah, we barely talk to each other in real life now, and we don't do this show because I've had horrible Wednesdays. And then we tried to move the show to Thursday, and that couldn't work. And then we talked about Tuesday, and that couldn't work. And then we went to Wednesday again at 9 o'clock.
Why we recorded on Wednesdays.
That's exactly why. Because we're like, Monday, no, Monday doesn't work, and Friday doesn't work, and weekends we can't stand each other either. So we're back
on Wednesday. We did go 1 hour later on Wednesdays.
Or half an hour. So it's 9 p.m. We live stream, and I'm going to say this as if it's true. We live stream every week at gfqnetwork.com. At 9 p.m. on Wednesdays Eastern, at least this time, because why not? And I haven't been on for about 6 weeks or so, so I have no idea what we're talking about. But I do know that the last movie that was picked was by Eric, and you guys have already talked about it.
Wait, what do you mean the last movie that was picked? What are you talking about? I mean, we have to give context to our listeners to let them understand what we mean when we pick movies.
So on this program, occasionally, or at least for the past like 60 to 70 episodes.
No, more than that. We started on episode 44.
Are we? Oh, that, okay, so since episode 44, we have picked crappy Netflix movies or movies available online to discuss on this show. And the theory was, because we're so connected, could we survive with just one screen? So no second screen, no snarky comments, nobody in the room with you, no alcohol. And how long could you watch a movie before you cracked? And the last time, and this has already happened, these guys have discussed it, the discussion was about Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie. And I was told that for this episode that I should have my notes ready to read for the movie because that was my punishment.
Yeah, your punishment was to watch the same damn movie that we had already watched and talked about.
Right.
So this wasn't nearly as bad as some of the punishments we've dealt to you in past episodes.
In past episodes, I got to watch, what was it, The Flying Devils?
The Flying Devils, yes.
One of the best movies of all time, which was amazing. If I just watched the show, I would have known that you guys were fucking with me. Also, the show is that's it. Okay, so is there anything anybody would like to say before I start talking about Crossroads with the movie that you guys have both forgotten by now?
I can tell you that I wrote it down in my spreadsheet. So I got 25 minutes into the film before I went to a second screen. I don't know if Eric remembers.
Oh, I don't even know.
And I went a total of 0 minutes because I had to watch this movie, but I have absolutely no time management skills. And so,
but I'm totally cutting out connections.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric, you're cutting in and out.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's like,
Eric went, let's say 43 minutes.
That sounds about right.
Sure.
Okay. So Eric's got a beer and I've got my notes. Is everybody ready to hear about what I have to write, what I've wrote about Crossroads?
Well, first I want to know, how many sessions did it take you to get through the movie? Or did you get through the whole thing?
I tried 3 times, and I did not get through the whole movie.
So you don't know how it ends?
I have here. This is my last note. 38 minutes in. I can't.
Wow. You stopped 38 minutes in. Mm-hmm. Ayaz, go ahead and give me your notes, and then I will tell you how this movie turns out.
I can't wait. There's a lot of notes, by the way. I was paying a lot of attention to this movie because it is a pile of shit. All right. Crossroads notes. Opens with girls putting away a time capsule of sorts. Britney Spears is narrating, "So we put our dreams in a box and buried it." Flash forward to 8 years later, Britney Spears dancing in her underwear to Madonna eating cereal in her bedroom. Now dancing and jumping on the bed. At this point, I was glad I was not watching this while at work. I was working from home at this time.
I also think it's funny that the way you worded that, it sounded like Madonna was in Britney Spears' bedroom dancing in her underwear.
Yeah, well, Madonna's eating the cereal in the bedroom. Okay, so her name is Lucille Wagner, and her dad is Dan Aykroyd. Lucille's a valedictorian, and it's graduation day. Now it's a school day. Justin Long is boring. Britney Spears in the, I don't know what, I guess in the hallway. Kit equals Uhura from Star Trek. She mocks Lucy for being a virgin. Flash forward to after the graduation ceremony. Thankfully, we didn't have to hear Lucy's speech. Lucy's dad is pushing her to medical school with a double major in bio and chemistry. We find out Lucy is all Dan Aykroyd has. Now at Lucy's house, she's crying in her bed. She's afraid she can't do anything she should have done in high school because she studied so hard, which is very believable, right? Because it's Britney Spears. At prom, post-graduation party, I'm not sure where they are, Mia, I don't know what the girl's name is. I think it's Mimi at some point, is trying to get Kit to dig up that box. Now we're in a hotel room. Henry, Justin Long, is trying to get the bedroom ready for Britney Spears. She enters the scene in a tux jacket and flashes her underwear. Meanwhile, Let's Get It On is playing. Spears is about to remove her underwear but stops because now she wants it to be special. So she's just going to bed and wants to hear the list again. Henry's becoming frustrated but obliges. The list is why they should sleep together. It appears they've never kissed before. Lucy starts giggling. She eventually turns everything down. So that was very sad for Justin Long. 13 minutes in and UGH, all caps. That's what it says here. All three friends are not getting along. The movie poster seems to indicate that they will figure a way to be friends, so all three are digging up the box. Kit's dream was equals a bridal Barbie. Spears equals a locket with her mom's picture in it. And the other one, who's Punxsutawney in Orange is the New Black, is a globe because she wants to travel the world. And there's a Polaroid of the three of them pretending to sing into hairbrushes. Kit is engaged. Now, Lucy wants to find her mother, asks her dad. Dad says mom's never tried to contact her, and the mom walked out on a three-year-old. Spears sneaks into her dad's room and leaves him a note before smothering him with a pillow. Okay, that doesn't happen, but this movie moves at a snail's pace. Time for a road trip. I was really hoping she'd do something to Dan Aykroyd, but she doesn't. So far, so good. The three girls are heading out with some guy. Is this the guy from the band? No, his name is Ben. This movie takes place in Georgia. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Ben's got a thing. Ben's got a thing for Spears. Kit breaks a cardinal rule about driving and changes the driver's music. Now they've convinced him to give them 10 minutes of music time. Well, shit. Now the girls are singing. Is this the Backstreet Boys? Wow, these girls are awful, and now they are in Alabama. The plan is to get to L.A., Arizona for Spears.
I love these girls are awful, and now they're in Alabama. There's something poetic about that.
These are my notes. Ben pulls over because he's tired. I'm tired of this movie. They stop at a Waffle House, and they realize they have no plan. So the level-headed Spears figures out a plan so they can survive on $486. Kit is disgusted by a motel that they go in. Mimi doesn't really know Ben. He just got out of jail. Freaks out everybody. Road trip continues. Girls stop. Wait a second. Mimi is pregnant? Hotel number two. Lucy calls dad. Dad's upset because Lucy ditched her job at the hospital. He commands her to come home, so she hangs up on him. Lucy is good at communicating. Road trip continues. Ben asks if Lucy is mad at him. Lucy responds with, "Why would I be mad at you? I don't even know you." Car breaks down. Lucy knows the car's problem is a radiator because her dad's a mechanic. Let's see. Ben goes into town and gets a tow truck. Gives the girls a time to fight. Kit talks shit to Mimi. Mimi, the pregnant one, pushes Kit. Kit attempts to fight her back. Mimi is pregnant. Really bad idea. Cut to town. Confirmed. Crack radiator. They don't have the money for this. Lucy wants to go home. Mimi pleads with Lucy to stay. She does because she has to. This is the movie. The girls change clothes somewhere in Louisiana. They're going to put on a show for tips, I guess. Kit says they have to be sexy. It's a karaoke contest. Shit. They change their outfits and Spears' hair before heading to the stage. Mimi has stage fright. Spears will handle it, I bet. They convince Spears to do it. She moves into the lead position. No kidding. Spears starts to sing. She starts winning over the crowd with "I Love Rock and Roll." The other two girls sing "Back Up in the Dark." Now Spears has found the stripper pole. 38 minutes in. I can't.
All right. So, Aya, since you did not endure the rest, but Eric and I both did, I'll give you the quick version of how this turns out from here. Obviously, they earn enough money to repair the car and then some, like so much money that now they get to stay in luxury hotels on the rest of their way across to L.A. They drop off Britney Spears in Arizona, is it? It's where mom is?
Yeah.
Okay, so they drop her off to talk with her mom, played by, what's her name? She was in Sex and the City and... anyway, the Britney Spears' character goes and meets her mom, who essentially confirms what her dad said, that she never wanted to have Britney Spears. Like, she never wanted to have a daughter at that time. The character finds out that she has two half-brothers that she never knew of because her mom never bothered to contact her. So it's clear that, well, one, it's pretty clear that the mom got pregnant and then the dad... essentially pressured her into having a kid instead of getting an abortion. The story then goes on to continue to LA, where you find out that the popular girls is Kit, that her boyfriend has been screwing around on her, which has been completely hinted at throughout the rest of the movie.
I didn't see that coming at all, except for the fact that, you know, he kept hanging up on her and didn't talk to her throughout the engagement. Well,
you also find out he's the one who raped Mimi.
Okay.
She's pregnant. She's pregnant.
It gets dark.
Yeah, she's pregnant with Kit's child that he had Kit's boyfriend. Kit's fiance.
That would be a totally scientifically.
Yeah, it would have been a really interesting. The movie would have taken a great turn. it's Kit's fiance's child. And that, did you see the part where she tells the story about what happened? She was essentially drunk and beyond consent when the guy had sex with her. And that's how she became pregnant. She doesn't reveal the identity of the guy at that stage. It's only when Kit is confronting her fiance that she puts two and two together and figures out that Mimi is pregnant with her fiance's child. She decks the fiance. Mimi falls down the stairs and loses the child. This is not a joke. This actually happens.
So this happens in Arizona, California?
Yeah, no, this happens in L.A. So
as if that matters.
Kit and Mimi go to the fiance's apartment, which is up a few flights of stairs.
This gets dark as fuck after
Mimi starts to run away. Yeah, Mimi starts to run away because of the confrontation between Kit and her fiance. Mimi trips, falls down the stairs, she's hospitalized, she loses the baby, she is unable to pursue her dream of trying to get a music contract career, so she convinces Britney Spears' character to go instead. Dan Aykroyd shows up in L.A. to take everybody back home. Britney Spears' character says to her dad, "Don't drive me away the same way you drove away mom." Which to me was like the biggest shove of a knife into a man's chest and then twisting it. Like, you drove mom away. Don't drive me away too. And she's saying it in a sweet way. Like, she's trying to be sweet. Like, daddy, don't force me away. And then at the end of it, she goes and auditions for the music contract. Oh, and she also, in a motel in Los Angeles that faces the ocean, loses her virginity to the dude.
Ben.
Which Eric and I also started to debate. Like, didn't she say she wanted it to really be special? That was her whole argument with the Justin Long character, saying this isn't how I imagined it. But apparently in a motel in L.A. after she's just been told by her mom that she was a mistake, that was how she imagined it, because that's when she goes through with it.
Well, she's very creative. Wasn't she going to be like a writer or a singer or something? That's what she wanted to be.
And she writes a poem that Ben sets to music, and that's how the song No Longer a Girl, Not Yet a Woman comes into being in the movie. And then the other thing I pointed out with Eric, I said, the other thing that bugs me is that the message of this movie tends to be along the lines of female empowerment, which is great. I'm all for that. Fantastic. Except that if you follow that logic, the mother character should have been allowed to have had an abortion, which means the Britney Spears character never would have been born in the first place. But you learn as the story goes that she's supposedly very intelligent and ambitious and hardworking. and compassionate. She's all these amazing things. So she's grown up to be an amazing person, which you could argue almost seems like a counter to abortion, because it would say, well, this wonderful person never would have existed had the mother been allowed to go and have an abortion. So it becomes like, and Eric agreed with me that I'm probably looking into this way too deeply, but my point is that this movie is messed up.
Okay, so the reason why I checked out was the stripper pole at some point, and also I figured to be a musical. But, okay, I might have to watch it now because this sounds so made up and so ridiculous.
The better half of the movie is most definitely the second half of the movie. It gets significantly...
There are significantly fewer scenes of Britney Spears in her underwear in the second half.
Do they become buddies over this? This Kit and Mimi become friends over the loss of the fetus.
They become friends before that because Mimi teaches Kit how to throw a punch, and that's how Kit, when she punches her fiance, she takes what Mimi had taught her and applies it to punching her fiance in the face. So that's how they really bond just before Mimi loses the baby.
And they put the baby in a shoebox that they uncover in 10 years or what?
No. She's hospitalized. L.A. does have hospitals. It's not a third developing.
I'm just checking to see if there was like, you know, full circle kind of thing.
They don't bury another memory box with a baby in it. It didn't get that fucking dark. It's not The Hills Have Eyes.
That's a good callback you made there, guys. Great.
That would have been very interesting. With there's a globe, or I guess it would be like Mimi's, not Mimi's. I guess it would be the fiance's like thumb cut off.
They did bury another box, but as far as I know, there were no infants in it.
Just a placenta, you know. That's horrible. Okay,
tasteful comedy.
Oh, thank you. This is very tasteful. I'm really, you know, I haven't done this show in like a long time, so I figured I might as well say something horrible.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, horrible.
At any rate, you know the second half is totally messed up. I mean, it's a messed up movie.
Do they ever walk like arm in arm with their they're kicking their legs out like in the poster?
Maybe. I don't remember that specifically.
It looks so happy in the poster, and one doesn't look pregnant.
There are a few more moments of them singing covers of other songs, you know, but. That actually didn't bother me so much. And the one compliment I gave was I thought that Britney Spears had a very naturalistic approach to performing that fit the character. Like it didn't, I was expecting her to be terrible and wooden, but she was okay.
Yeah.
Not like a great actress, but way better than I had expected.
I just found a piece of broken glass, which has nothing to do with the show, under the couch. So I don't know what this is from. So if you're watching this and you've been in my apartment and you've broken a glass, let me know why this is here.
I suspect it's from a larger piece of glass.
Well, I said it's a broken piece of glass. I didn't say somebody left a triangular piece of glass.
Sure. Like,
Well, you said you didn't know what it was from. I'm saying I suspect it was from a larger piece of glass.
I guess I didn't know if it was from a drinking glass or, you know, like a, I guess it was a drinking glass. The mystery of this.
Go ahead, Ian. Sorry.
I was going to say that we've had a discussion on the topic of this show because watching movies by ourselves without distraction, at least for me, has almost become damn near impossible or very infrequently possible. So we're talking about not doing that every week. Is that right?
That's what, yeah. You had suggested we cut back to maybe once or twice a month if we want to try that.
Yeah.
The other thing we could do is just continue to watch terrible movies but not worry about the second screen thing anymore if we want to still have the film discussion. I quite enjoy the film discussion that we tend to have on this show, but if that's still a problem, like if it's still just difficult to find the time to watch something you really don't want to watch for the sake of this show, then I can totally understand that too.
It's definitely more the time where I'm alone and there's no possible another thing coming in. And yeah, that's
I keep forgetting that Iyaz's existence is essentially what the Beatles went through during A Hard Day's Night, where they're just he's constantly being chased down by fans.
Yeah, there's that, and like there'll be two dogs. They're like, we got to go out, so I got to take them out, and then I'm like, oh, I got to get to work. Or
I totally understand. Like ever since we got Tybalt, which is my puppy, because I lost my two elderly Jack Russells last year. Ever since we got him, it's been a lot harder. Like I can't, because he wants to play all the time. And unless I can totally exhaust him, and on days when I go into work, he's alone for most of the day. So he's definitely hyper and ready to play when I come home. And it's impossible to devote full attention to anything other than my dog.
I have a suggestion.
What's that?
You know, not saying you should get rid of your dogs, but no. I got a cat. You don't really do anything.
Yeah. I grew up with cats, but I'm slightly allergic to cats. And so I like to be able to see.
If there's like a dog dealership where you can, or a pet dealership where I can trade in two slightly used dogs for cats, maybe I'll do that. Unfortunately,
I would love to take Tybalt in to doggy daycare. We've done that a couple of times, which is great because he has fun. He gets to socialize with dogs. It tires him out. He as soon as you get him home, like he'll play for about half an hour and then he's out like a light. But the problem is in Atlanta, there's a strain of dog flu that is in the city that there's no vaccine for yet. So because he's a puppy, I worry about exposing him to other dogs who may have this dog flu. There are two different strains. One's from Florida, which there is a vaccine for, and one's from Chicago, which there is no vaccine for. And several dogs in the Atlanta area have actually died from this. Now, most of them were older dogs or had other health issues. But Tybalt's very young, so he's still not even a year old. So
there's an uncurable virus going around Atlanta right now?
It's not incurable. There's no vaccine to prevent it. Those are two different things.
All right.
And besides, it's a flu. Like, it's a flu virus. You don't cure those. You have to kind of wait for it to make its way through your system.
It's just when the virus starts, it'll probably look like a flu anyway.
I will admit, there are a lot of dog walkers in Atlanta. Dog walkers. There's yet another like film or TV show or something that's shooting across the street from my house yet again. So I keep thinking about Walking Dead because they used to shoot not too far from here. But I'm pretty sure it's a film production. I have no idea what it's for.
I'm all for replacing my dogs with two, like hopefully, robot dogs that have projectors so they make me watch the movie. Like they just shoot it out and I have to watch it like in 4K. That's what I'm hoping for one day, and that's not currently the case. But oddly related to zombies, you know, I went to Comic-Con this weekend and I don't know if I could do it anymore because the pace in which you walk, because you kind of do this like commuter zombie walk thing. You just kind of...
It's the CES walk too. It's the same walk you have to do when you're going through. Like if you are walking through the South Hall on opening day, unless you're able to move off to one of the really rarely used side hallways, mm-hmm. you're stuck behind tons of sweaty old dudes taking pictures of booth babes.
Well, in Comic-Con's defense, I only had one negative olfactory experience with a person. Like only one person smelled bad, which was quite impressive because like there was lots and lots of people there, and there are those little often not used areas by the independent comic areas, and that's where I wanted to go. But my son, who's five, he didn't exactly have the patience for it, and there was all kinds of like, hey, look at this kind of stuff going on there. So he was more his biggest highlight was meeting a cosplayer dressed like the Green Ranger. He was super psyched, and he was like, he almost gave me his sword. I almost called the dragon sword by accident. I'm like, that's about right. At least you know the show. But that was the highlight. And that was like when we were ready to leave on the last day. We went 2 days in a row. So it was, I don't know if I can handle it unless he's really into it, because he didn't seem to get a ton of, he didn't seem to be thrilled about it. He seemed more interested in, he's like, we got to see this taxi cab. It's really high up. It's like a ride. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea what we're talking about. So Liz and I started looking everywhere for this. And so when we left that day on Saturday, he found it. He goes, that's it. And he points to an outdoor garage where they have these elevators for cars.
Right.
And there's a taxi on the top. He goes, that's the thing. And I'm like, that's not part of the convention. You're thinking the car show that we went to, and that's a garage. Well, not a garage, an outdoor parking lot. And he's like, I saw it go up. And I'm like, okay, point made, but not part of Comic-Con. So Green Ranger and a taxi that has nothing to do with it. I don't think he really enjoyed it too much. Well, or at least he didn't hate it, but he didn't seem like psyched about it.
You know, he's probably a little young to really grasp it. So,
yeah.
I mean, when I started going to conventions, I was probably 8 years old. Mm-hmm. It was around that age, because that was when my dad was starting to really start to sell short stories and novels. Was when I was around 8 years old, and that's when he started going to science fiction conventions to promote the stuff he was writing and to appear and talk to folks and to do panel discussions about writing and all that kind of thing. So I was a little bit older and the conventions were smaller. Like, science fiction and fantasy and comic books were definitely not in the mainstream back when I was a kid. So they were much smaller events. We're talking, like, if there was a convention that had 10,000 people, that would have been huge. Most of them were around, like, topping out at 2,000 or 3,000. And, of course, now, like, Dragon Con, the stories you get are that between 50 and 70,000 people go. That's the largest one in the Southeast. But then you've got San Diego Comic Con, where it's, like, three times as many, or PAX, which has just as many as, like, Comic Con does. So it's a much different experience than when I was a kid. But even when I was a kid, I was older. I was, like, eight. And it was a little weird too, because there weren't as many, like, there weren't that many kid centric activities either. So I did a lot of, I just hung out with adults a lot, which was fine. I got to see a lot of cool things. I got to do some costume contests because my mom made some crazy costumes for me when I was a kid. And that was a lot of fun. But also, there just wasn't, like, cosplay was not as big a deal. You know, they would have a costume contest, and that's when everyone would dress up and go to the contest and participate in that. But you didn't see as many folks walking around the convention in costume back in those days either. Also, anime was called Japanimation.
Yeah, you know, I said that once in high school, and somebody's like, why are you calling it Jap Animation? I'm like, no, that's not what I'm saying. It's Japanimation. Like, it's one word. It's a portmanteau, but Jap Animation is what they heard. Like,
yeah,
you can't call them that. But I've saw some cosplayers that had some unworkably large costumes that weren't. Sure it meant a great deal to them, and it looked great, and it was well constructed. But these things were massive. They were just gigantic and very difficult to work around, because there was just a lot of plastic and foam.
You occasionally see that at Dragon Con too, which is tough because it gets so crowded. I mean, they're all in hotels at Dragon Con, right? So you're walking around these hotels, and the Marriott is cosplay central. There's, I think Dragon Con this past year was in five hotels that are all close together. Most of them are just a block apart, although one of them is like a couple blocks away. And the Marriott is kind of where all the cosplayers tend to hang out to be seen and that kind of stuff. And I've seen a few massive, gorgeous costumes, but they're massive and it's so hard to get around them. Like, you want to get around them, but you also realize, like, this person probably has very limited visibility and they're in a really big costume, so their radius is much larger than it normally would be. So you got to remember, okay, well, this person probably can't see me, so I can't just, you know, skirt by them because they might turn and whack me, or I could end up damaging their costume or something like that. And it gets pretty complicated. It's still a lot of fun to go. I know Snubs went for the first time this past year to Dragon Con, and she loved all the costumes. My favorite one. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to throw it to Eric. What are you dressed as today?
San Francisco startup guy. I think that's pretty much my standard outfit now.
Douchebag.
So, douchebag, pretty much.
which reminds me, I was listening to, I was talking about this to Ayaz and Eric before, or emailing about it before and tweeting about it. I've started listening to some of our older episodes just out of curiosity. By the way, as far as I can tell, at least using the podcatching app that I have on my phone, there is no location that has all of our episodes. Like I've subscribed to two different feeds and I've got maybe 15% of the episodes we've done.
The ones on the old WordPress should be linked, but there's at least five or six that are just gone. Like I couldn't even salvage from archive.
I use BeyondPod and I subscribe to stuff. Mm. So there are three different subscription feeds for Podcasts Without Pretense. One which has Ayaz's old logo with Ayaz, like the Imperial Sun behind him. And that's some of the older episodes. And then there's the one with Mount Rushmore where it has the later episodes. And then there's the video feed podcast one, which has I think has one episode extra than the audio feed does. But if you want to listen to most of them, you have to go and use the web. You have to maneuver over on the web to the WordPress site and listen to them that way or whatever. But I did go back and listen. Like I listened to episode 43, which was where we came up with the idea for the movie thing in the first place. And I listened to the one where Ayaz came back after being absent and we made him watch The Flying Devils by himself. And I'm thinking that I might put together a kind of a list of episodes that had particularly interesting or funny bits in it, or something else I might do. And I haven't decided if I'm actually going to do it yet, cause it does require a lot more work on my part.
Are you going to make a clip show?
It's a thought so great that it caused his internet to pause and freeze. It's such an interesting, and it caused Skype to lose its connection. Yeah, I bet it's really, really good, whatever it may be. Maybe he'll write a script and we'll have to reenact it for the next episode. That's what I think he would do.
Fantastic.
Because he'll translate our speak into Shakespearean English. What do you think?
I think that's about right. That definitely sounds like a Jonathan thing to do. And if he comes back with anything else, we should just present that to him.
Like, that's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to have transcripts and then we're going to go through. We could have those conversations go through what we used to do, or at least we have done in the past couple episodes, where we would take our description of the movie and run it through a series of translations to find it garbled by the end. So we could have a whole episode where all our dialogue has been replaced with garbled, translated English, which I'm sure would do gangbusters.
It would, and I think our audience would really like it because they're only listening to half of it anyway. So if you're fading in and out, it wouldn't matter.
Fading in. I like the idea that our audience is like semi-comatose, and they're just kind of like, huh? Oh, hamburger. Okay. Oh, cheeseburger.
I assume that's how people listen to podcasts, because that's how I listen to podcasts. So.
Just semi-comatose. How is California treating you?
It's good. It's hot. Well, it's hot right now. It shouldn't be hot, though.
Right.
No, it's been good. October. You're still... Yeah. No, still, like, tons of exploring to do. Yeah, pretty much been just going around doing lots of stuff.
So have you quit your job yet? Get a new job yet?
I haven't, no. Still have the same one.
Jeez, it's been like a month.
Yeah. Since I moved, yes. But I've been working for them for like three.
Well, yeah, now you're in San Francisco. Like, there's probably like 80 startups like per square foot. So clearly you're going to get a new job pretty soon.
Yeah. And yeah, like, yeah, I can, actually I could quite literally throw a very small rock and hit at least three startups because we're surrounded by them in our building. So yeah,
that's the best way to find a startup. Forget Google, forget looking at Yelp, just get a very small stone, throw it, and you'll find one as long as you're in San Francisco. My dogs are freaking out because they're like, it's 9:30 on a Wednesday. You don't do anything at 9:30 on a Wednesday. Clearly, you're going to take us out. Like, no. Sorry, guys. I'm going to hang out over there. So,
I went to go see... What did I do last week? Oh, yeah. I went to go see Good Job Brain live. Do you listen to that podcast?
No, but I did see the Steve Jobs movie, which had the word Jobs in it.
Oh, did you? How was it?
It was all right. I mean, very.
It's Aaron Sorkin, so.
Right. So that's the thing. Like, it's the Aaron Sorkin Steve Jobs. So that pensive, slow talking Steve Jobs that you know doesn't really appear much in this movie. He's very quippy, you know?
Right.
And it makes sense though, because every in this movie, it's I think it's like four or five real time segments before a product launch. So you'd think that Jobs would be like firing on all cylinders right before the product launch. So I guess that's kind of possible, but he's just so quick that it seemed a little bit kind of, it was more like a play, right? It didn't feel more like a natural kind of discussion. But Fassbender was quite good. I know Kate Winslet was in it, not only because I saw her name in the credits, but somebody next to me on the right side was like, is that Kate Winslet? I was like, I don't know. I think it's Kate Winslet. It's like, it was in the fucking credits in the beginning. Like, how did you not see that? Like, there's like five people in this movie. How do you not see that? So those were strangers. So it was a good movie. I mean, it was a good portrayal, and there was a lot of good drama for a movie. From what I've read in books and other reports, it's been a little bit over dramatized, but that was all right. You gonna see it?
Yes. I actually forgot it was out, but yeah, I have to go see. I saw the Amy Winehouse documentary last week. That was pretty good.
Is that in theaters or is that somewhere else?
It's in theaters. It's like really small theaters. Actually, the weirdest part about that was we went to a theater called down in Embarcadero, but it was this tiny theater in this really fancy building that had about, I don't know, 15 seats in it. And they're like giant leather reclining seats. It was like $12 a ticket, so not super expensive. And I was literally just sitting there going, there's no possible way you can make money showing a movie to 15 people for $12 a ticket.
That sounds like a bad profit margin. What do they charge for like popcorn? Like $80? Or they just had sushi?
Nah, that seemed normal. Like popcorn, normal. They also, they had a full bar, but also still like $5 a beer. So
it's a pretty good deal.
I don't really understand how they make money.
Money laundering front, obviously, because that doesn't make any fiscal sense. I got a note from Jonathan. His note is, goddamn Comcast rebooting my modem probably after 5 minutes. Message sent 2 minutes ago. So we have an inbound Jonathan Strickland who is currently dealing with Comcast, which if I recall, in the years we've been doing this podcast, so it's been about 15 years, he had a more steady connection using like WiMAX in the back in the day, which is ridiculous because that technology was good, I guess, but you know, it's not supposed to be as good as wired like Comcast. And this episode is brought to you by Comcast. They suck.
I really would love to get sponsored by Comcast at some point. Just like, hey, if you sponsor us, we'll stop saying you suck. We'll just say you're our sponsor and leave it at that.
It's like, you're our sponsor because
Jonathan's internet problems. We're sponsored by Comcast. We'll just leave it at that.
It's like, hey, they sponsor us. So hey, it's free. So why the fuck should you complain? That would be the only way. Because I was looking at some kind of, I think it was like an old review on netbooks. So I was doing a top five for CNET. And somebody's like, this netbook's $200. It doesn't do a whole lot. But how can you complain? Because it's like $200. So it's like, Okay, I guess that's true. If you're paying a little bit of money for something, or little at all, maybe zero, you're like, I can put up with bullshit. And if Comcast right. was cheaper, and if they were our sponsor, Comcast, we wouldn't slag you off so much, to use a British term, because we're like, well, fuck you guys. But I don't have Comcast out here. They almost bought Time Warner. They didn't. And I'm happy about that. And you got Comcast out there? I think so.
God damn it.
Comcast. Hello?
Comcast sucks. So hard.
True story.
Okay. How are you guys? What did you talk about?
Well, we talked about getting Comcast as our sponsor. And not a joke.
Bite me. They can bite.
Well, the theory was that if it was free, you wouldn't complain.
No, because I'm paying for this one way or the other. Right. All right. So,
your idea.
My idea, which is going to be so lackluster now after the numerous delays.
That's okay. We figured out a better one.
So, yeah, so go ahead. You do yours and we'll tell you ours.
I can't wait to hear yours. I'm sure it is better. Mine was simply that I was thinking about pulling quotes from various episodes and quizzing you guys over, one, who said it, and two, which of the movies did you say it about?
I like this game. I think it should be open to the audience. And the thing we came up with was you were going to take a whole episode and run it through Google Translate like a bunch of times, and we were going to recite it in the next episode.
I'm not going to fucking transcribe an episode into Google Translate.
And I mean,
I'm not going to set up my speakers next to a second computer with a microphone to feed it through.
You could just use SoundFlower or something. You can have a virtual sound card. But anyway, the concept of you doing that. Also, I think you could be sloppy about it because we're trying to make it garbled, right? So
I look forward to you doing this, I ask, because this is not what I signed up for.
Whatever. I'll just hire a Mechanical Turk to transcribe
it. I think it's doable. We have to find a good episode. We should just do Rock and Roll Frankenstein.
We should do the maximum that Steven Seagal movie, because it was 17 minute long episode. Shit? It was a 17 minute long episode. The episode, because I listened to that one. That was one of the ones that I listened to.
We did that one like right after the 404, back when I was on the 404.
Yes, we did the 404, followed by an actual Podcast Without Pretense episode.
Yeah, since that audience did not follow me around, I get to talk some smack about it. So let's talk as if we were on the old days where we would be off air.
Go ahead. So these guys will transcribe for 85 cents a minute. I'll totally do it. I'll find one.
That's a great idea. So there was a number of people who liked the episode. They said it on Twitter. They're like, oh, yeah, it's great. You listen to Podcasts with Pretense. But there was a group of people who fucking hated that episode with you guys on. And then I was like, well, okay. And they're like, well, these guys, it just sounds like more of the same together. It's like, well, yeah, because that's how we talk to each other. You could tell they were on Skype. It's like, well, yeah, we're on Skype. But they also hated the episode when I had Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane on. And I'm like, wow, you guys just hate everything that is different. I know it's a little different, but for the love of God, if you can't like if PWP, fine. That's an acquired taste. There's like one person, Kia Stacey. Thanks for watching. Who watches this show?
It was acquired that taste.
Yeah. We don't know what her ailment is such that she enjoys this show, but thank you. But it's funny that I can actually name one person. That audience and me, that was a fun ride. Comcast. Should sponsor that ride.
Well, hey,
what can you do? They're a sponsor.
How about some other exciting news? Something else that I normally wouldn't talk about unless we were off air, but why the fuck not? So the news broke today, and press release went out this morning that, all right, so I gotta give a little background first. Okay, so there's a company called Blue Cora, which is a holding company. All right,
Did you get fired again?
Don't jump ahead of me, God damn it, Eric.
Spoiler. And,
well, the short answer to your question is not yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a holding company called Blue Cora. Used to be InfoSpace. InfoSpace got huge, turned into Blue Cora, which is – they're still in InfoSpace, but created Blue Cora as a holding company. And Blue Cora went and diversified and bought a whole bunch of other companies, including Monoprice and How Stuff Works and TaxAct. And then this morning they announced that they're going to make an enormous acquisition, another financial planning type of web service for – more than $500 million. But they're also going to divest themselves of InfoSpace and Monoprice. This is all in the press release. What? How Stuff Works is organized under InfoSpace. So we're a wholly owned subsidiary of InfoSpace, essentially. So that means that at some point by mid-2016 is the goal, according to the press release, Blue Cora is going to sell that company off. So this means I will have gone through this. This will be the third time for me because I went from Convex, which was the owner of How Stuff Works when I joined, to Discovery, Discovery to Blue Cora, and then Blue Cora to whatever entity ends up deciding to purchase InfoSpace and or how – well, it'll have to be either InfoSpace and How Stuff Works or just How Stuff Works or however that's going to – I don't know how that will work.
So we should stop talking shit about Comcast.
Well, they might buy you. They actually will sponsor you.
I would just be like, I'm so sorry about all those Google Fiber tweets that I have and will continue to make.
I was thinking, why don't we? This might be the best time to announce the official Kickstarter. Let's buy Jonathan, and we will run InfoSpace, all of us. So
okay,
we'll get like $50 together. And we'll buy the company.
You might be slightly underestimating the value of that company, but
if Monoprice is there, I don't know if I can afford that one.
I'm sure they're going to look at selling that separately too.
I mean Monoprice pricing is quite reasonable, so why wouldn't this be? I mean, it's not like Monoprice is selling this place.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway. You know, obviously, I don't have any more information about that. The press release went out to the public this morning, and I think, you know, I'm actually fairly positive about this. I think that we have a great team and we do great work, so I'm pretty sure that we'll come out okay. It's the uncertainty is always going to be a little weird, but I'm confident that the team we have is the right one. So I'm thinking that in the long run things will be fine. It's just going to be kind of shaky while we get all this sorted out. So
this will be the episode that will be remembered as the episode that got Jonathan fired. So even though it's public information, he's saying words that are related to it in public. So it was a good run.
Exactly. I'm quoting a press release that went out to the public. And then my opinion is, I think we'll be okay. From the perspective of Blue Cora, though, I mean, I totally understand where they're coming from, because what they're doing is they're kind of repositioning themselves to have more of a focus on tax preparedness and financial planning. And so they're going to have kind of an identifiable, motivation and pathway. And that makes perfect sense to me. So I don't even fault Blue Cora for the decision, because it makes business sense. I'm not upset about that. It's a little disconcerting to go through this a couple of times in a couple of years, because Discovery sold us to Blue Cora in 2014. So, you know, it's playing hot potato is a little weird, but comes with the territory when you're working in the corporate world. So,
okay. On that note, and the clicking, I think it's time to look into the future. Before we do that, we'll be back here next week on the 21st of October, live streaming at 9 p.m. I'm completely lying. We should be back.
I've got a movie that we can – two things. One, I've got a movie we can watch.
Which is?
I think it's my I think it's my turn now.
What on earth did you pick?
It's actually not necessarily a terrible movie. I have not watched it yet. I'm hoping that it'll be good because people I know have been involved in it. The Reconstruction of William Zero. It was directed by the director of Forward Thinking, Dan Bush, and it stars Connell Byrne, who is my former boss at Discovery.
The Reconstruction. Netflix won't even load this.
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes is not happy about it, but all right.
Yeah. It's killing this MacBook. I also need to get a new PC. I've had enough of this. Let's see. It's an hour and 37 minutes. An amnesia victim struggles to regain his memory, but he might want to forget what he finds out. Interesting. Interesting. I will add it to the list. And if we don't watch it, we'll just talk about some other shit. But
it's fire.
I will try.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we go is that I will be participating in the Extra Life video game marathon this year. The event is one for a fundraiser to raise money for children's hospitals. I'm specifically raising money for Children's Hospital of Atlanta, but there are different hospitals throughout the United States that participate in this, and I think several in Canada as well. And the way it works is that it's like a walkathon, except you pledge a flat amount, not necessarily amount per hour, but a flat amount to whomever is running the campaign. And I'm repeating something I did a couple of years ago where I'm going to play 24 hours of Minecraft on survival mode. And if you pledge at the $25 amount or higher, I will build a tribute for you within Minecraft in survival mode in that 24 hours. And the more you pledge, the more impressive and elaborate the tribute will be. So if you want to support Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, if you want to support me, I'm part of the Rooster Teeth team because I'm a big fan of Rooster Teeth. So I joined their group. Then you can go to Extra Life and search for Jonathan Strickland. Also, you could just follow me on Twitter and I post about it there all the time. So you can come and support me and watch me play. I will live stream playing Minecraft for 24 hours. So you don't want to miss
What's the day? What's the date?
It's November 7th, I believe.
November 7th.
It's about a month away. Yeah, Saturday, November 7th.
All right, so next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
I changed my mind. Instead of playing Minecraft, I'm just going to play Civilization 5 on deity level over and over and over again.
I thought you were crafting a mime. Like, that makes no sense, but mining what?
I mean, granted, it was a pretty elaborate penis, but $25 just so you could make a penis? Not, I wasn't expecting that.